You are now entering the world of Musings of a Geek Podcast Network. Stay geeky, my friends.
Hello, and welcome to the Comic Roast number 68. This is, Thanksgiving week, so happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there. I'm your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX, and I'm here with Brian. You can find on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. And we are here with Chris, who you can find on Twitter at SkateXEdge. Our number one for the week was The Hangman number one on Dark Circle by Frank Thierry. And our over-under for the week is Saturday Night Live cast members. I feel like we could probably do a whole show on this, but we're going to stick to just, over-under.
If you've been alive in the last 40 years, you've at least probably followed at least one generation of cast members.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of my point.
Circle the globe in search of a listener. Can you hear me now?
Any other pertinent news outside of the two board game reviews that I did on the website that went pretty close to about as close to viral as you're going to get? Over 5,000 hits on Defenders, wasn't it?
5,000 and climbing, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Defenders of the Realm. This guy right here wrote the review on Review and Roast. We posted that stuff on the Facebook, and it went the crazy. Nailed it.
Wow.
Right?
Dumb. Hey, you know what? My review of The Hustler didn't do so bad. 1,200.
Hey, we're talking about this guy.
All right, fine.
I'm killing it.
By the way, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Our podcast on The Hustler was pretty good. It was pretty good. I cried from laughing. It was pretty good.
Oh, I'm sure. And then actually coming up later this week, we're going to have one for Kiss Me Deadly. I have a feeling. We haven't recorded it yet, but I have a feeling it's going to be top notch.
It's our holiday special.
Oh, it totally relates to Thanksgiving. I think it has to do with the radiation or something. I don't know.
Yeah, you can get a radiated turkey.
I mean, that's how I cook them.
Yeah.
It takes 3 seconds. All these people, I cooked all day. Hey, get a little plutonium. Stuff that turkey and you're done.
Hey, you don't even have to put it in the oven.
So, enough of that silliness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got the usual rant and rambles and blobbers because I haven't read nothing because I've been playing Star Wars Battlefront all week.
Blobbers?
So I read the number one and then I read like the new Hawkeye number one. That's it.
All
right. Right? Killing it. I'm killing it in the eyeball department.
Right.
He's nodding at Chris, so I think he wants Chris to go.
Why?
Why not?
I haven't really read too much either. I've been doing nerdy things like build models. Like I don't have enough nerdy activities.
There's never enough time for nerdy activities, unfortunately, with things called work that make you sad to be alive.
I did read the Black Hood 6. That was actually really good.
I got to figure out where I left off.
Number one by Warren Ellis on Dynamite. I read that. That was actually really good. I dug it.
On Dynamite, huh?
Mm-hmm. Dynamite is actually coming out some pretty good books.
I feel like we haven't done a lot of Dynamite since Joe took his hiatus.
I like A Train Called Love by Garth Ennis. That's pretty good.
They've got a new book coming out next year based on the trials of the Bill Gaines comic book empire called Seduction of the Innocent.
Pretty yeah, I saw that.
I'm going to get that.
Yeah.
I heard all about it and it sounded neat and I'm going to get it.
You know what sounded neat?
What?
Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles sounds actually pretty dope.
No, we went to Barnes & Noble yesterday and he had this game I hadn't seen before, and now I forgot the name of it, but basically you're a mad scientist and the goal is to create the most devastating destructive mass weapon so that people on Earth will fear you and respect you. I thought it sounded kind of cool.
You can also make an amazing hamburger and get the same results.
This Raphael Albuquerque cover for Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is actually pretty awesome.
I like Raphael Albuquerque's artwork, period. So
yeah.
His artwork on American Vampire was pretty good. And by pretty good, I mean pretty awesome.
Sweet, sweet.
Other than that, yeah, I read Plutonia. We did a review for that. And I think across the board here, none of us really thought too much of it.
Right.
But I went ahead with number two, and it actually got better. But the story is actually getting better. The story is getting a lot more interesting.
Well, based on your recommendation, I actually did pick up the second one today. I've been staring at it for 2 weeks now, and I'm just like,
I think you'll like it. I liked it. I read it, and I was like, wow. I'm actually surprised that like it. To me, it felt like it turned. It did like a. Shut up.
Yeah, that's gross.
Ass bag. Do you want me to take this serious or not? Because I can just sit here and cuss my cuss the whole show and make you really angry.
Right.
I'm trying to throw my 2 cents in.
2 cents.
Forget it now. I don't want to do it. But it was actually good. I think the characters in the book have gotten a lot more interesting. They're not like I know from like the first issue. It kind of came off as your run of the mill high school, you know, dipshits.
Did you read Paper Girls at all?
Yeah, Paper Girls is awesome.
Oh, so you read the second one? Have you read the second one yet?
Yes, I have.
What are we thinking?
Love it.
Yep.
Yeah, but
totally
like,
better than the first
one. What are we
thinking
happened at the end of the second one?
I'm not 100%.
But I mean, I remember it was good on the first one. I really liked it, but it was kind of weird. Second one.
Well, Brian K. Vaughan is pretty much becoming that writer that like you hear, yeah, he's got this book coming out, and you're like, oh, okay. I don't know nothing
becoming,
about it.
He's been that guy
for
a while now.
Yeah, well, yeah, he is.
For a decade or more.
Yeah.
He is that dude. Yeah, you just hear about, who wrote it? Brian K. Vaughan? Oh, yeah, sure, I'll get it.
Brian K.
Vaughan. You know nothing about it. I don't need to.
Brian K. Vaughan's doing a series about a guy who sells napkin holders door to door. I'm into it.
Sounds awesome.
You guys are weird.
Dude, read Ex Machina. That series is amazing. It's pretty much Watchmen meets the West Wing. It's really good.
Okay.
But yeah, Paper Girls is good.
That's Brian K. Vaughan.
Yeah.
The artwork is weird, though. I will say that. I'm not a big fan of the artwork for that.
For real?
It's too lifelike to the point where everybody looks like a mannequin.
Oh, you mean in what you were just talking about?
Ex Machina.
Yeah, I was going to say, because
the writing is super good, though. And the story is really, really good.
Yes.
It's basically about the guy who's the mayor of New York City, and he also is a superhero called the Great Machine. It's so good.
I'll have to check it out. There's so much stuff, it's hard to keep
track. And then why The Last Man, obviously, is his non-saga hit of the century.
But I am pumped for Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I'm really kind of interested in Batman Europa. That looked pretty awesome today. I should just pick
it up. I can't remember
next.
If I grabbed
James
that or not.
James Tynion
IV
is writing Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It can't be.
He's also doing Batman Eternal with, or not Batman Eternal. I forget the name of it now. It's the newest. What are the other new Batman ones? But Batman Europa looks pretty amazing. I think I'm going to have to pick it up.
You should have. Why didn't you?
Because I got to keep my money spending down this week. Spent a little too much money at the old House of Blues on Thursday. Zing!
For not a blues show.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
I don't know. I feel like you're going to talk about it, or
I will at the appropriate time.
Sweet.
It's not that time yet. Are you still
Yeah, well, 2016 is actually looking pretty good for comics
and for movies. What? I can't wait to see Gem and the Holograms 3 in space. I don't know.
Well, I was telling you about that de-evolution that Rick Remender's doing for Dynamite. That's coming out in January. That looks really good.
The web from Dark Circles coming out in January.
I feel like they just don't.
I feel like I like what Dark Circle and Archie's trying to do, but instead of putting all of these new stuff, why don't you put out the stuff that's been out and we're waiting for?
I want it all. I don't want them putting out one new book a year. I want them to put out like 12 new books a month.
Yeah, Dark Circle, if you ever do listen, which I probably doubt, could you like hurry up with fucking Sabrina before I like totally lose interest? But I mean, I won't lose interest because as soon as I find out it's out, I'm gonna get it.
Maybe it's done. Maybe it's
better not be
Sabrina in space now.
That would rule.
No, it wouldn't.
Crossover with Jason X. What?
Oh my god, that book just got horrible.
Yeah, they need to leave it the way it is in the 60s.
No, guys, it's totally okay. He just wants his machete back. Whatever.
Dude, yikes. Sabrina is a comic that Satan would be proud of.
This guy's obsessed with Satan. Not good storytelling, but Satan. Book is terrible, except it's about Satan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Heavy metal.
So did you read anything?
I did. I read a lot of stuff.
Are you going to talk about it all?
I was waiting for it. I was being mildly courteous.
I feel like you were just sitting here singing a minute ago. And
I did read
like...
Huck that came out this week by Mark Millar. That's actually good because it's totally different than what you're probably used to him doing with, you know, Kick-Ass and Wanted and Secret Service and...
Jupiter's Legacy.
Yeah. Huck is not a bloody cuss porn fest.
Oh.
So all right, when I read it, well, actually, I looked at the back and it says teen. I was like, oh, all right. I'm like, is this really Mark Millar? And I'm like, oh, okay. They're saying it is. And it was actually really good.
Yeah, I'm curious to read that myself. I probably, like I said, I'm going to start cutting down on my single issues, I think.
It's not a story that hasn't been told before. It's got that Superman feel to it, but...
Well, he said he wrote that in response to Man of Steel, so...
Yeah, but it's a different take on it. It's more of, Huck is more of a superhero that kind of just does good... He just does good deeds. He's not like... He's not like saving someone from a falling building or something like that, but he does things like he mows, like in the book, he goes and mows everyone's lawn while everyone's asleep. So they wake up in the morning, the whole town, all their lawn is done.
How'd they not hear it?
He's got a silencer on his lawnmower?
He's Superman. He's that fast. Or like, the man's daughter had lost her father's gold chain. He went and found it for them. Like it ended up somewhere like on the other side of the country, you know, like somewhere in California, and he ran over to California from, you know, from the other side of America, you know, from of the U.S. and found it in the ocean, brought it back to her. He does things like that.
Huh.
So I thought it was an interesting take. It was, you know, he's, It's like the little things that count, kind of. It's, you know, doing his neighborly good deed.
I'm going to get that guy to mow my grass next summer.
But it was interesting coming, you know, if you're familiar with Mark Millar and you've read his stuff before, you know what he does. So, I mean, see that was kind of like a refreshing change from what he's, you know, done before. So I liked it a lot.
I'm into it. Well, since you're talking about Superman, one of the things that I kind of stood out to me this week was Superman American Alien number 1 by Max Landis.
That sounds terrible.
Well, you're the worst because Superman is great and you suck. It's pretty much like him doing 7 short, like, one shots that are all semi-related to various events in Clark Kent's life of him trying to adjust to life on Earth. Like, this first book is like him as a little kid figuring out that he can fly, but he can't control it. And his mom is like, there's one scene where like he's trying to fly and Martha Kent is holding on to him, trying to keep him from going too far away from the house. And it ends up where she's like hanging upside down and he's trying not to drop her. And it's just him like dealing with being different, which I thought was kind of cool because you always see him either, you know, flying back to the farm to have breakfast with mom and dad. And then he sits on the roof and goes, remember back in high school when I had a crush on Janie Smith? And they're like, oh, she's the worst now. She's married for the third time and all her kids hate her.
And she's a whore and she and he sells took it herself to that for sex. Area.
I was trying to keep it Superman-esque and this guy's got to turn it into Chinatown or, you know, whatever.
Why Chinatown?
Funky Town? I was talking about like one of the R-rated 70s grindhouse movies or whatever. The Roman Polanski Chinatown. But yeah, I was kind of actually looking forward to it because A, I like Max Landis's writing because he wrote Chronicle, and B, I don't know, I think that I like Superman. So there, take that. Plus, I like the idea of like having a more intimate look at Clark Kent as opposed to him fighting a giant monster. Which is also cool, but like it's pretty common. So yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and recommend that one. If you see it, get it. The other one, it stood out, not necessarily for the right reasons, but Double Take Comics is a new company, and it turns out they are the comic book publishing arm of Take-Two Interactive, the company that owns Rockstar Games. So I was like, oh, that's kind of neat. Maybe they'll do
They're owned by 2K.
Right. Well, yeah, okay, then maybe 2K. I don't remember how it all hands out. Like, all these companies own each other. There's like three video game companies now. Anyway, I saw all these new books from that company recently, and they're all like $2 a piece. I'm like, oh, for $2, it's worth at least checking one or two of them out.
They look really cool.
Right, so I grabbed Z-Men number one, and I grabbed another one, and I read Z-Men, and I was just like, man, this really feels like Night of the Living Dead, and I don't know why. I haven't seen a zombie yet, but all the references they're making seem like Night of the Living Dead. So I looked up the history of the company, and it turns out their first big thing is like 9 books all telling the same exact story of the movie Night of the Living Dead from the perspective of the police department, from the perspective of the FBI, from the perspective of a housewife who lives a mile down the road. It's the events of that exact movie from all the people who are not in the movie. And I was looking at it going, oh, that could be a neat idea. But of course, when you do a big event like this, and I was looking at a lot of the reviews, a lot of them say, yeah, some books are pretty good. Some of them are horrible. And the whole project seems a little bit like a convoluted mess. And the only reason they did it was because the movie is public domain, because George Romero never copywrote it. So anybody can do a Night of the Living Dead story. Me and you could write a Night of the Living Dead movie right now, and we would not get in any trouble for it, because there's no copyright on it. Because people have asked them a million times, are you sad or disappointed that you didn't copyright a movie that is beloved worldwide and has made so much money? And he's like, yeah, I probably would have a little more money right now if I would have done that.
When did you say that Seduction, sorry to interrupt you, Seduction of the Innocent comes out?
Yeah, not today.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, it comes out. No, it comes out actually in a week and a half. It comes out on December 2nd.
Okay.
I thought you had said next year. That's why.
I thought it was next year.
Well, no, it's actually sooner than that.
No idea.
Okay.
And then the other thing I saw was Valiant's new series that comes out next year, Faith Number One. If anyone's read Harbinger, there's a character in there. I forget her name. It's Faith. What's her last name? Faith.
Faith Fat Ass.
No More.
That is super rude.
Faith Fat Bitch.
That's just as rude, maybe worse. And
I like her. I like.
Oh, yeah. He tries to qualify it now.
No, I do. Shut up.
Tries to qualify it now. Somebody else back me up. Anyway, Faith Herbert. The reason I bring it up is because there have been pieces on this new series in People Magazine, The Washington Post, and 17 Magazine, amongst many other websites and magazines. I just thought, A, this is a pretty cool move for Valiant, because their whole universe thing is starting to get a little stale, because it's all just action-adventure, constantly the same tone over and over again. So it's kind of cool to see them doing something a little more light and maybe comedic.
Fluffy.
Plus it's getting a ton of press, so smart on their part. There you go.
Nice. That's it.
Right on.
Yeah. All right.
You look like you're ready to like start crying any minute, so.
No, I'm just reading stuff.
Oh. All
right. All right, so we'll move into the new number one segment, which was The Hangman on Dark Circle by Frank Thierry. And this was Chris's pick, correct? Yes?
Yeah.
Would you like to take us through it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's fucking awesome. Go get it.
All right. So that concludes new number one. Let's get some deets.
All right. Anyways, The Hangman, number one. I don't know how long I've been waiting for this to come out, and it finally did. Well, only about 3 months. Excuse me.
It's like a lifetime.
The stuff that Dark Circle is putting out, obviously, you know, things that they have going on right now are like that noir, gritty crime kind of story. Hence the name, which is what that whole line was supposed to be doing. But anyways, the one thing that stands out to me with this book is the artwork. The artwork matches the story, I think, spot on. It's kind of grainy, not so bright.
You are nailing it right now.
Shut up. Hold on. It's got the same tone as Black Hood. Black Hood is the same way. There's no bright colors. I mean, it's nothing pops out. It's very dull. Even the drawing is kind of like almost very sketchy, I guess, for lack of a better word. But the Hangman is basically an urban legend within the book. He's kind of the angel of death. He's more of the person who exacts revenge on people who have it coming to him. So this first issue, I don't know quite how to put it. I like it a lot. I don't think there was anything wrong with, like, I got the feeling from you, Brian, is that you probably thought that there was too much swearing in it, or...
I don't necessarily think there's too much swearing in any one particular thing. I just think the constant language, just for the sake of, whoa, it's a mature rated book, we can go crazy with the language, let's do it.
I don't think they went crazy.
I don't think they went crazy with it, but I thought, like, some of the language was like, hey, let's stuff another F-bomb in here. And it was kind of like, okay, I get it, but I don't really see the need, I guess.
I think it fits the characters that they're trying to portray. He's trying to portray this is obviously this crime, you know, mafia.
It's like a mafia hitman.
Mafia hitman, you know. And I love the part in the beginning where he's with his family, you know, getting ready to eat breakfast. He's dressed up like he's going to the office. His daughter's like, oh, I left Mr. Fluffy Bunny in the car. He goes, oh, hold on, let me go get it. He's got a dude stuffed in the trunk. He's like, shut the fuck up. Here you go, honey.
See, the part about that scene that bugged me was the fact that why would you bring her out to the garage with you when you got somebody tied in the trunk?
Especially
just turn around and close your eyes, honey. And then he opens the trunk.
Well, tied up. He's like, following him. She goes, oh, I'll come with you. He's like, oh.
I thought he carried her out there.
Well.
I mean, either way, I would have been like, yeah, you need to just wait here. I'll go get
Mr. Fluffy Bunny. But that's going to tell your wife, like, hey, don't come out there. I'll get it.
I don't know. It's not like the guy was in the trunk dead. He was in there tied up.
He does do it.
And he's like,
here, I'll go get your bunny. Shut the fuck
up. He's in there kicking around and muffled, trying to scream, and the kid's standing 3 feet away. And like, it seemed a little too kind of.
It was awesome.
It seemed like third rate mafia movie to me.
Yeah. I don't think so.
I just think that the pacing of that particular instance right there was like, this would never work in a movie in any sort of believable way, because the kid would go, what's that noise, daddy? Who's that? Why is there a guy going
Well, he told her to
I think kids are very curious, and a kid would have heard somebody muffled and kicking around in the trunk and turned around and looked, and I don't know.
I like the what's that on your doll? Is that blood? Oh no, it's just some strawberry jelly. See?
Yeah.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, that, you know, maybe now when I think about it a little bit, I mean, yeah, like, how did you not, you know, and he does say, you know, shut the F up, you know. Does the daughter not know that? Daddy saying that to me? Daddy telling me to shut the fuck up?
That's what I'm saying. Like, who talks like that in front of their, like, 7-year-old kid? And again, kids are curious. If they don't hear the kicking and muffled screaming in the trunk, they're going to hear the F word and go, daddy, why did you say a bad word? Because you have a kid. I know from experience. And you say even...
Well, he just kind of whispers it.
You say even the slightest language in front of a 5-year-old, they start going, ooh, so-and-so said a bad word. My nephews have done it to me multiple times.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I just told everybody I swear in front of my nephews all
day. Yeah, way to go.
Kind of just whispers it, and the daughter goes, what's that, daddy? He goes, oh, it's nothing, honey. Just keep your just keep those eyes closed. So I'm sure he just kind of whispers it, but I like it. I like where it's going. I like that gritty feel. I like those kind of stories about revenge and, like, you know, especially like this, people getting, you know, their, you know, justice served.
I do, but I feel like there's a lot of that right now, and I don't know that this is my favorite example of it. I love the Frankovia cover, as they always are, is amazing.
Yeah.
I don't hate the book. I might grab the second one.
Oh, I'm definitely getting the second one.
But
maybe I'm just maybe it's just because I'm easily pleased or swayed, I guess, by stuff like that. I don't feel it was badly written. I don't even feel like that there was a lot of swearing. I mean, there's been books that have a lot of swearing. I think, like, to get the feel of what's going on and the grittiness and the, you know, and the type of person that this guy is, this mafia hitman guy. I mean, you know, it's, you're not going to hear him, you know, talking like a Harvard graduate.
Not necessarily, no, but I just feel like, having read this first issue, I'm like, what is different about this that I haven't already seen in, like, The Punisher, for example? And I couldn't really think of anything other than the fact that the anti-hero is obviously got some kind of secret identity or hidden.
But he's
identity.
More of a legend. Like, he's more of an urban legend. It's like it's something that's whispered, you know, in alleys and stuff. And, you know, no one really knows if it's true or not.
And like I said,
for all we know, as the story goes on, this could actually, like, turn to be out like an angel of death. Like, the guy is like a ghost or something.
Right. And I might get the second one just to see if it starts to, I don't know,
get if it more, picks up for you.
I mean, it definitely had its interesting qualities, but I think that some of the, I don't know, the stuff not on the panels that you're supposed to kind of imply on your own, you start thinking about those things and you're like, yeah, that would never work. Like you said, like, who's going to be bringing their daughter out to the garage and have this guy kicking and screaming? And if you're tied up, I mean, you've seen enough movies. If you're tied up in someone's trunk, you're going to be kicking and screaming for your life. You're not going to go, oh, his daughter's here, I better keep it down.
Well, how are you going
to, if nothing else, you're going to kick and scream harder to get the kid's attention.
And what good is that going to do?
The kid might run outside going, oh my God, there's somebody in daddy's trunk.
Right.
And you don't know what neighbor goes, what the heck? Calls the police. I don't know.
How are you going to kick and scream when your legs are, when your ankles are taped?
Your knees are not dysfunctional. I mean, you can still move. You're not completely disabled.
Oh, yes.
But that, for me, that was the only scene that was like, all right, that should have, he obviously should not have brought the kid out to the garage. To me, that was like an obvious, like, I guess, mistake, whatever, from somebody who has, you know, apparently been a mafia hitman for a
very
long time.
Well, if you don't want your family to think any different about you or think you got secrets, you're like, yeah, okay, let's go get it.
Stay there. Dude, you always hear about the, you know, people just yelling at their kids for no reason to just sit here, I'll go do it, you know.
Right,
it happens
right.
All the time, you know. I'm sure you've done it.
Not to mention how many movies have you seen where the mob wife is completely aware that her husband murders people, but she's like, yeah, but we have a Cadillac.
Yeah. I mean, other than that, you know, I agree. The art completely fits with the tone of the story
right.
And what it's totally about. The panels are drawn really well. The story is interesting enough to me because at the end, I don't want to say what happens, but because of what happens at the end, it's even more intriguing. But that all being said, I think the script could have been better. And I'm not trying to say that there was too much swearing because I think it fit fine. I just
right.
Some of the dialogue just felt really kind of cheesy, and it wasn't like too much swearing or too much violence or too much this. It was just.
Yeah, I mean, maybe the guy as he's, you know, and I also like that sadistic part of it. And I think what you want of me, but
someone needs a hug.
Yeah, all right.
But I thought that was kind of ingenious how he's like, you know,
I mean,
how he did what he did to that guy.
Even though I think the dialogue was kind of cheesy, the simple fact of the way it ended, like, you can't not get the next one, in my opinion. Like,
right, and the fact that the guy's like all huggy and kissy with his wife and family, and then he goes,
I honestly thought he had a terrible
office
to
do
job,
this, and you're like, dude, they're like, you were just, I love you to your 7-year-old daughter, and then here you're doing this.
Yeah.
Sadistic torture.
Did you want him to give his wife the tombstone pile driver or something?
That would have been funny.
I'll see you later, honey. By the way, hoo-yah!
But I liked how that guy was It's like that guy had like two different faces. You know, he had his family face, and then he had his
non-family face.
So you say he was two-faced?
Oh, zing, bada, boom.
But
bring in the comedy, folks.
All that being said,
we're back at 9.
I liked it. I thought it was good. I mean, that could be said about any story. Maybe if I did read it a second time, you know, I'm sure I'd probably go, yeah, maybe, you know, you can say that about any book. Like, if you read it again for the second, third time, yeah, this could have been written a little better. Yeah, you know, you always pick up on something that you didn't catch, so.
Oh, I catch everything.
But, I skim with a fine-tooth comb.
But, yes. I would recommend it. I think it was a good. I think it's a good story. I'm definitely interested in seeing where it's going. I like the tone of it. I don't think it was like over the top violence. I think it fit perfectly with, you know, maybe, you know, I guess in hindsight of your comments and everything, when I think about it a little bit, yeah, did that guy fit that archetypical like mafioso kind of dude? Yeah, he did. You know, a typical cheese ball.
See, that doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
Actually, he didn't fit that archetype at all. He was totally sloppy and not, you know.
Well, no, I'm
only
about,
with
I'm
the daughter
about,
in the garage.
Yeah, I'm talking about his language, you know.
Only
like,
with the daughter in the garage. No. Only with the people that matter most.
No, what, like what, how he was speaking to the guy that he was, you know, had to hit on. Like, you know, he's like, you know.
I've been doing this a long time, blah, blah, you know. I just thought, in the way he kind of, you know.
What's that in your trunk? Your father's mustache. That's what's in the trunk.
And the way that guy died was pretty awesome. You gotta admit,
yeah,
you don't see that in books very often.
I thought that was
not gonna give it away either, but it's pretty sweet. Other than that, I think we can throw a number and move on.
8.5.
Francavilla variant cover for the win. I'm gonna give it a 6.
I'm gonna give it a 6.5. You know, like I said, it's good, but I just feel it could have been better. But it's definitely worth checking out. You know, and then when you see the ending, you'll know what we're talking about when it. You know, you should.
Yeah, it's not knock around, guys.
It's gonna leave you hanging.
Oh yeah,
but it's not
get
good.
It. The Hangman.
It's not good, fellas,
man.
Either.
Comedy Gold here, and you guys are just not sucking it up.
Justice was served.
I'm wasting this on a terrible crowd,
followed by pie.
I'm gonna take this to the strip mall.
Zang.
Okay, so everybody knows it's
time for sex.
Probably like a month away from the Star Wars, The Force Awakens, which right off the bat, I know a lot of people hated that name, but I think that's an awesome name. Whatever. Maybe it's just me.
It's okay. I'll admit, I am more excited for Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice. However, that being said, I think that name's terrible and worse than this one. So, if nothing else, it's better than Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice. Because at that point, you might as well call it Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice for the best Justice League thing ever to happen in movie history because every superhero rules.
Well, I mean, if we're going to go that route to make fun of DC for a minute, I'll jump on board. See, here's the deal. Marvel took characters that most people didn't know of or didn't care about, turned them into gigantic stars, and over the course of a few years, brought the Avengers to people with those same said second-rate characters. Okay, everyone loves it. It's a great thing, and they're doing a great thing. I'm not saying DC has given you Batman movie after Batman movie after Batman movie after Superman movie after Batman movie after. You have so many more characters. You could be doing something.
What did
with.
You want him to call it? Aquaman drowning in justice?
No, I mean, I'm just saying, like, before Marvel put out the
Blue
Avengers,
Beetle, we've got the bug for
before
justice.
Before they put out the Avengers, they had, you had an Iron Man movie, you had a second Iron Man movie, you had a Thor movie. You know, I don't know. I feel like they slowly introduced all this to one big thing, whereas they're just like, well, we've got Batman, Superman. That's all we're going to do in Batman, Superman.
Booster Gold, Justice is Gold.
I don't know, dude. It's just dumb. They focus too much on those two, and they just let everyone else fall to the wayside.
Well, apparently they're going to introduce a bunch of these DC characters into this Batman Superman movie, and
yeah, they're all going to be supporting characters in a movie about the two biggest, so that they can tie them all into the Justice League movie.
But I think now with Arrow, The Flash, and Supergirl, and Legends of Tomorrow, I think the Batman Superman stranglehold on the DC filmed and TV universe is about to be broken, because The Flash is super popular and it's a great show.
I'm not
disagreeing. Arrow is also super popular now and a pretty good show in its own
right. I'm just saying, when Marvel started doing these with the very first Iron Man movie, people were like, this is dumb. This is going to fail. This is never going to work. And they slowly and meticulously built these movies and these characters in this storyline to bring everybody all into this one match. Right.
And now, guys,
it feels like DC is just like, oh my God, that worked. We need to go. And they're just like pushing everything. Like,
well, we'll see.
I don't know.
I'm not
saying it's going to be bad. I'm just saying.
I'm still super pumped.
They've been doing Batman movies for the last 30 years. They've been doing Superman movies for the last 50 years. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right. And now guys are driving to the office wearing an Iron Man glove.
Right.
Anyway, back to Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. So, Star Wars, this past week, I'm sure it's way more by now, but this past week has surpassed $50 million sold in advanced tickets. Now, I know I saw this post online, and I mentioned it to Brian, and he wasn't able to find it, but somewhere I saw this kid had a stack of tickets for opening day, because he bought every single seat in the theater for the show he was going to so that he could have the theater to himself. He spent like over $2,000, and I'm like, you know, if I had the money, I mean, basically you just rented the theater out so you could watch it by yourself. That's kind of awesome. I mean,
I feel like if he had called the theater and asked for a theater rental, he might have got a deal, like a couple $100 knocked off.
Oh, I'm sure he would have. I'm sure he would have. But that being said, that's still kind of funny if that's true. But I don't know.
He actually just had one Star Wars ticket on top of a bunch of Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants tickets.
I know, right? They're just old tickets. Why does that one say Bill and Ted? Shut up.
It's not the water horse. Don't worry about it.
So have you guys been following up or keeping track of all the stupid rumors that people think, I know what's going on, even though they've released zero about the plot of this movie?
I have heard bits and pieces of it. I hear a lot of chatter about it at work because a lot of people are like jonesing for this movie. I'm not the Star Wars fanatic a lot of people are. So I want to go into this movie completely just blank. I want the movie to just blow me away completely on its own. I don't want to speculate on who's going to do what or where everyone's going to be. I just want to go in completely knowing nothing.
Well, I feel like this would be a fantastic podcast for Mike to actually be a part of, because he's the like resident Star Wars nerd, but apparently you're quite the Star Wars nerd too.
Yeah.
So
retired Star Wars
nerd.
Yeah, I know you're, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're not thrilled about this movie, are you?
I wasn't at first, but when I actually sat down and started looking at some of the trailers, I was like, oh man, I'm like,
what are they going to make this look interesting?
No.
I hate when I like things.
Yeah. I was like, dude, it actually does look good.
All right, so have you heard any of the rumors about the plots?
No. I mean, I've heard things. My guess is what they're doing is he's probably kind of going the route of Dark Empire, which is even making me more interested in it now. Because in Dark Empire, Luke comes off as being evil. But he's not.
So is that where people are getting that they think Luke is Kylo Ren?
Well, even J.J. Abrams had said that, like, there's a reason why they're not showing Luke in the trailers and in the toys.
Yeah.
You know, the weird thing is that Luke is actually the trickster.
I don't know what that means.
He's the bad guy in The Flash.
You're a dork. Well, no, because I know, like, one of the big things that people are saying is they're saying that Luke is going to end up being Kylo Ren, and it's going to lead into this whole whatever. I don't know. I haven't read all the books. Nerds. But I've also, you know, there's the rumors going around that Chewbacca is going to die. And hint at it in the trailer.
Shoot, he's 500 years old in the first Star Wars. I mean, Christ.
Yeah. I mean, I know this movie is obviously takes place after, you know, episode 6. But you know, the for the 3 seconds in the trailer where you actually see Han Solo and Chewbacca, they're like 80 years older. Like, how far into the future is this movie going? Does anybody at least know that?
Yeah, they went to Harrison Ford's current birthday and said, all right, we'll start here. They're like, we did a lot of work on your wife's face, but we just don't have the Botox to fix you.
Wow.
Hey, at least Harrison Ford looks appropriately old. His wife looks like a monster.
Who's his wife?
Calista Flockhart.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, okay, I'll say this. Supergirl has been pretty good so far, and she's actually really good on the show, but her face looks weird. She looks like a really shiny Halloween mask with a wig. Just saying.
She's no Felicity.
No, this is one of those things. Like, I get the obsession with youth to a point, but come on. You look like a mannequin monster with
And she's no what's-her-name from The Flash.
Which one? All of them?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow. But all two of them?
I can't remember her name in the show. I just know her name in real life is Candace something.
Good old Candace something.
You talking about the girl that plays Iris?
Thank you.
I love her.
Yeah, super hot.
She's the best.
Iris?
Iris West.
I'd sniff her farts.
Is she a scientist or is she the daughter?
She's the daughter
of the.
Yeah.
The scientist is really pretty as well.
Though. No, I agree. That's why I was. She actually
looks a lot better now in the second season.
Oh, I don't want to ruin. I only saw the first episode. I don't want to ruin it. But man, they started really getting into the Flash, like the whole thing already. It's awesome. Anyway, back to Star Wars.
What do you mean getting into the whole Flash? He's already got the suit. He already runs around as the Flash.
There's like 8 different Flashes.
Yeah, there's Wally West.
There's Jay Garrick.
These alternate universes.
Yeah, they're starting to introduce.
Which is kind of weird because it's like all these alternate Earths that are going on at the same time, but they're all kind of the same because they all have the same kind of, you know, they have internet, they have McDonald's.
I don't know.
One of the alternate universes. You are so more missing out on like. Than the other.
You're missing out on everything by now.
You're missing out on the best superhero show on TV.
And I understand it's not on cable for those of you that are screaming at your radio right now. But
it's on Netflix.
Yeah, the first season, not the second season.
Well, you haven't seen the first season.
I've seen most of the first season. But here's the problem. When you don't have cable, you don't have a DVR. So I'm not going to – I have no way of –
What
know,
goes whatever. Up.
Must come down
back to Star Wars.
And you know what? Well, no, because now I'm all fired up. So this is just going to happen because these shows came out right around the time I got rid of cable. So for a long time, for the first like 2 or 3 months, I was coming home from work, turning on a computer, and like firing up Gotham and Flash on the computer off like Fox's website or CBS's website or ABC, whatever shows I was watching. And yeah, I mean, it works out for a while until you realize 3-4 weeks later when you're a couple episodes behind, they don't have them all available. They only keep the most current like 3 or 4 episodes, the rest of them, and then they take them down. So it's like if you fall a little bit behind, you're done. You're done.
What? You're done. Goes up must
and
come down.
Candace I was Patton. Thinking about this a lot in the last week, and I was like, oh, maybe I'll just go back to like the early 90s when they came out with TiVo. Maybe I'll just get me a TiVo. That thing is super expensive. I might as well get cable again.
I get this idea.
Like the box itself is like $300-$400 and then it's like another like $150 subscription fee.
Oh, that's totally worth it.
Like what? Dude, for
why don't you get on TV while you're at it?
Yeah, I was gonna say get Spectrum or on TV.
I'm just gonna I don't know what I'm gonna do. I'm just waiting for all this stuff to hit Netflix. I'm just going to be a year behind on everything. I don't care. Screw you guys.
Screw you guys. I'm going home.
So, yeah. Star Wars.
All I know is Iris is a chocolate goddess.
I think Star Wars will be nice. Good and stuff.
God, she is. God damn, dude. She's delicious.
Can we get back to the show instead of you looking at your tablet like you do every time?
And like you're doing?
Swish. I got my script.
You're the resident Star Wars guy.
But check that out, man.
That's okay.
I don't know. I said a lot about Star Wars. You haven't said nothing.
What do you want
me
to say about it?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm talking to this guy.
What do you want me to say?
I have seen like 1 or 2 teasers. I'm not following the rumor mill. I'm not getting involved in the threads. I'm not a Star Wars expert enough to offer my opinion on any of these things. My thing was this. I was not the biggest Star Wars fan growing up. I have since revisited the original trilogy in the last few years. I think it's uneven at best. First one's pretty good. Second one is, it's okay.
Awesome.
Return of the Jedi was terrible. Okay. And Phantom Menace is the biggest embarrassment to human history to ever be.
Dude, if that movie was like 30 minutes long, it'd be amazing.
If that movie was just Darth Maul for a half hour, I'd be like, this movie rules. But
they wasted way too much time on that pod race.
And it was like, when they were underwater and that giant fish was following them, it looked like they were in Finding Nemo. It was terrible. It was the worst thing I've ever seen. I was like, am I watching Star Wars? What is this? It's like a Pixar movie about talking fish. This is terrible. And the CGI was garbage in that movie. Garbage. That's what I'm saying. Like, how do you have these amazing characters and screw this up? Oh, I know how. You're George Lucas. You don't know how to tell a story. That's how you screw it up. Because here's the thing. I don't think he really wrote those first three movies. I think he helped conceptualize them. But Spielberg was involved and Lawrence Kasdan was involved and other people were involved to make the movie interesting. And he was just like, oh, I got the guy with the helmet and I'll just sit back here and you guys take care of all this stuff. But then when he did the new trilogy, he's like, no, I got this, guys. I got this. And then I was like, all right, this is going to be interesting. Oh, yeah, you're going to cast the guy from the Backstreet Boys? Oh, good God, what are you doing? But, as I said, since I first heard about this movie, one phrase comes to mind, J.J. Abrams to the rescue. That's all you need to know. And I've since gone back, and I like Star Trek, the original episodes and some of the comics and stuff. But I was not a Star Trek fan either until I saw the first J.J. Abrams Star Trek movie, which, sorry, old school Star Trek fans, that movie rules, and Into Darkness is 10 times better. So I have full faith that J.J. Abrams will make these characters finally realize the way that I never, I guess, got it the way other people did.
It does look good. I will admit now, like after seeing it,
J.J. Abrams,
I was more interested in like
to the rescue.
What were they gonna do with like, you know, Luke and Leia and all them? I'm like, you can't just not have them involved.
Well, I'm gonna go ahead and say it,
and I was kind of like, why is he concentrating on these two dipshit characters? I don't really give a fuck about this broad.
I'm assuming
damn about this dude
that you haven't seen it yet. But here's what I think. I think they should have made the movie that Patton Oswalt talked about on Parks and Rec.
Yes.
That movie sounds amazing. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you can go to YouTube and search Patton Oswalt, Parks and Recreation, Star Wars rant, and boom.
And they put the disclaimer at the beginning that said they said you're going to do a citizen filibuster, pick a topic you know a lot about, and just ramble like a maniac without a script. So he went on a 9-minute rant about how to take...
Don't ruin it, because I want
to Star Wars. All right, but I'll just say how to fix the Star Wars universe. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. And it's done in a way where you're like, holy crap, this guy knows way too much about all the things he's talking about. But it's the ramblings of a maniac who doesn't go out much.
Yeah, exactly. So if
which is actually
fit right into this podcast.
Which is actually how Patton Oswalt is, except he is married.
We should get him on here.
That'd be amazing.
Dude, if I get Patton Oswalt in my life, I'd be so happy.
All right. Well, I don't know. If anyone else has any other thoughts, we can tweet them and discuss them on the Facebook, whatever, maybe MySpace, that stuff. We're going to move on.
Get on to Friendster.
We're going to move on to overrated, underrated. And for this week, we were going to do Saturday Night Live cast members. And, you know, the reason this came up is because we were trying to come up with something. And I just bought the Saturday Night Live Trivial Pursuit for $2. So that's where we got. That's where I got the idea. Nailed it.
Mm.
Boom. Overrated. I have a couple, but I'm going to stick with my main one. And then, you know, people are either going to 100% agree or they're going to be like, you're an idiot. But Will Ferrell. Sorry. Will Ferrell is awesome in Step Brothers. He's awesome in The Campaign. He's awesome in
Stranger Than Fiction.
Other than that, most of what he does, super overrated, and he's
though
not
his
funny.
Neil Diamond impression on Saturday Night Live was actually pretty awesome.
Who's the guy that does Inside the Actors Studio?
Oh wait, his play or performance he did as George W. Bush was awesome.
Was it like called like George W. Bush nailing it or something? No. Oh, it was You're Welcome, America.
Yes, that was funny. But up until Step Brothers, I couldn't get on board with anything he did.
I just like when he went up to that guy in the crowd with the vest. He's like, "What's your name? All right, I'm going to call you Vesty."
But there's times in Step Brothers where you're like, "Oh, you're kind of starting to cross that line." But then John C. Reilly makes everything better, and it's a good pairing. And for the most part, at least especially in his Saturday Night Live days, I never understood why people thought he was funny.
Brambles. Steve Brule.
That's awesome, yeah.
Jack Pratt. There's a thing going around on Facebook of Christmas sweaters with Steve Brule's face.
Did you notice who was on Supergirl, by the way?
No.
Pert Hapley.
Oh, yeah, I did notice that, actually. Because as soon as I saw it, I was like, "Oh, my God, it's Pert!"
Every time I was screaming. Mike's like, "What are you talking about?" I'm like, "You need to watch Parks and Rec."
Have you heard of Pert? I need that coffee mug. You're going to actually probably be surprised by what I picked on.
Probably.
David Spade.
Yeah,
I'm a little surprised.
Sorry, David Spade is not funny. He's good in Tommy Boy, and he's good in Black Sheep, but that's only because he's got Chris Farley with him. Dickie Roberts, whatever child star movie was garbage. That stupid sitcom, what's that, Rules of Engagement with Putty, garbage.
Yeah, except for, what's her name?
The One Wife is...
What was the other show that he was on? Were you like the magazine or...
Oh, that was...
Just Shoot Me?
Yeah, I like that.
I like Just Shoot Me.
I don't remember that one well enough. I know Brian Posehn was on it, and the guy from the Goldbergs was on it.
Super hot.
But I mainly go back and I watch those old Saturday Night Live skits where David Spade's involved, and like none of the really good cast members from that period were on. He's not funny. And he did a stand-up special a couple years ago that I got on Netflix or something. The worst thing I've ever seen. He is terrible at stand-up, and apparently that's what he's mainly doing now. So yeah, he's just not funny. He's obnoxious and he's annoying.
I feel like he's a good sidekick.
Yeah, he's fine as like a walk-on and like, hey,
who is he married to?
He's not
married. He was.
Oh, is he? I don't know. He went on this like 10-minute cry fest on Real Time like a week ago about how you don't know what it's like to grow up 5'7". Yeah, there's a billion people that do, and they don't cry about it the way you are. You're a multimillionaire, and you've done so coasting off the talents of others. So. Yeah,
pussy.
I used to really like David Spade, but over the years, I've just grown annoyed with him. So, yeah, he's my overrated pick.
He's married to a fashion designer named Kate.
Oh, well,
I thought he was married to some model, or you've seen some model, or he knocked up some model.
Fashion designer.
Well, no, similar. Whatever. Rob Schneider.
Yeah.
I am on board.
Oh, my
that
God.
That copy thing was stupid.
Making I thought
copies. Hey, what the? It's the Broster. Broster making copies. I'm like, dude, shut the fuck up.
What?
I thought that it was funny for like 3 minutes. Like
he was funny for about 2 seconds.
So that means he was actually funny for a positive integer of time.
Well, you said 3 minutes. I said 2 seconds.
I was saying there was a small period in my life where I was like, that Rob Schneider guy, he's gonna be hilarious.
Yeah, and then you woke up and you're like.
Yeah, no. It was the best thing he ever did was becoming friends with Adam Sandler so he could make cameos in all those his movies. I'm not saying that his cameos are good. I'm just saying that kept him on the screen and probably enough to have an apartment somewhere.
He did a stand-up special, too, like 5 years ago, where he essentially goes, all right, well, I've never really done this stand-up thing, but my career is floundering, so I'm just going to be racist on stage and see how hilarious it is. And
that's not what he said.
No, it was that when you watch the special, you're like, is this what his idea was? Like, my career is in the toilet, and let me just get on stage and be racist and see if it's funny. Not, like, blatantly racist, but, like, I'm going to be jokey racist. Like, I'm going to be like, you know how the blah, 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 blah do this, right? Am I right? Get it? Yeah, you know, take my wife, please. It was so brutal. I was like, this guy is on – he's going down and on – he's just – oh, my God.
Brutal.
Brutal.
Wow.
I don't even, have you heard anything about him lately?
Yeah, that's why.
Never hear anything about
that's
him.
That's why. He's like, I thought my joke about how Chinese people can't drive was killing. I was wondering why people were leaving the theater. Because people were like.
They were probably going to check the streets to see if it was true.
Yeah, he's just awful. Awful, awful, awful.
All right, so underrated. I had a couple choices on this one too, but I feel like some of them, even if I picked them, people would be like. I don't know, but I totally nailed it. John Lovitz.
Yeah.
And somebody that people just all around, that guy is underrated. He is a comedic genius, and he should be in way more stuff.
Well, I'll qualify by saying I've seen him do stand-up, and it's not that great. It's not terrible, but it's not really great. But that was never his thing. No, I'm not saying anything about his comedy skills. The critic? I'm saying his stand-up skill. No, The Critic is one of the best shows ever. People need to find that DVD or get the VHS and bask in the comedy glory of that show. Because it is one of the best ever. There, I said it.
I agree.
I have two.
Well, that's not fair.
I picked an alternate in case mine was picked, but I'll give you my alternate pick first.
What if he picks it?
I have three.
All right, go.
If you got two, then that's
all right.
You
go. My alternate pick was Colin Quinn. He didn't really do much on the show, but he did Weekend Update, and I just think Colin Quinn's hilarious. His timing's a little weird because he tends to speed up and slow down with the weirdest times sometimes because he's got that, I don't know, drugs maybe. But I think the dude's hilarious. But my actual underrated pick, Alec Baldwin.
He wasn't a cast member, though. He was just a host.
He has his own DVD of Saturday Night Live skits for a reason.
No, I agree. He's genius on
his
there.
That DVD is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
If we were going to go with hosts, I mean, there was a couple more.
I could have picked Chris Farley, but I think Chris Farley is pretty much universally worshipped a good reason.
Yeah.
Alec Baldwin is
down by the river.
Yeah. Dude, Alec Baldwin is genius.
Canteen Boy. what's that? I think things are great. Oh, my God. The guy's on TV every 5 minutes. He's always got some.
Frank Sinatra.
No, the other one. Tony Bennett. Tony Bennett. His the Joe Pesci show.
Yes.
A little bit.
That was so good. Yeah, dude, I'll watch that DVD right now.
The diner where he comes in with the cowboy hat.
Dude, that sketch right there, absolute genius.
That's what I'm saying. And then
that's the best DVD that I ever stole.
He segues it into 30 Rock with Tina Fey and Judah Friedlander and all these other former SNL cast members, like the one girl who does like 50 different characters on that show, Rachel Dratch. And he plays probably the best sitcom character since George Costanza and Jack Donaghy. Give me a break. The guy is the king, and he doesn't even realize he's the king.
Oh, I'm pretty sure he does.
He should. He should walk around and just say, "I'm Reaganing it all the time." Alec Baldwin's a comedy mastermind, and he's not even trying. He's just naturally hilarious. I wish I was that funny, like, without trying.
I wish you were, too. Wow. Make my life a whole lot better.
I forgot I'm sitting here with Soupy Sales. Oh!
Soupy Sales. See, that's why you're never going to be Alec Baldwin.
I guess.
That was terrible.
That's why you'll never be Alec Baldwin. You don't even know Soupy Sales.
I've already surpassed him.
Wish I went to Smothers Brothers instead.
I think you're looking at me because you want my picks now.
I mean,
I got a couple.
That's fine.
Do it.
Sweet Chuck.
That's not. Is that a person?
Oh, Tim Kazurinsky.
Yep.
Who?
Sweet Chuck from Police Academy was on there.
He was, yeah, way early.
Joe Piscopo.
Oh, dude, Joe Piscopo was so good.
Yeah, and I remember that.
It shoots through schools. And that's why they got that around the clock security and them gates
around the house because they know that when Clarence Walker find him, you go take a chunk out there behind. Eddie Murphy?
Yes! The fifth Beatle?
That was pretty good.
No, his sketches were amazing, but I feel like a lot of people think his sketches were amazing.
That was why I didn't pick Eddie Murphy because, like, that best of Eddie Murphy Saturday Night Live VHS.
That's
one of the best comedy anythings ever.
Yeah.
Like, his stand up is outdated. When you watch Raw and Delirious now, you're like, kind of like, aw, so cute.
Is it, though, or is it because you've seen it 100 times?
I don't think the jokes hold up. It's at least on Raw. I think some of those jokes are stupid now. Okay. They were hilarious 20 years ago. I was crying my face off when I first saw it. But no, yeah, the Fifth Beatle, Gumby, James Brown Hot Tub.
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
the James Brown Hot Tub is so good.
Who are the Clarences? That's John. That's Ringo.
That's me. She loves you, man.
Fucking rules.
Nobody picked John Belushi.
I feel like he's probably the most famous.
You're probably right. He probably is, actually.
Are you kidding me? I would have absolutely... his fucking DVD, VHS, Betamax, whatever. I will watch that any day, all day. It is hysterical.
It's pretty much flawless.
The bee dancing stuff, because him and his Dan Joe Cocker Aykroyd had the like when they were doing the Blues Brothers stuff, like
that stuff's super
genius.
Good.
The Samurai Delicatessen, genius. The guest that would never leave.
That is one of my genius favorite sketches ever.
Hey, you guys want some more popcorn? Yeah. Which brings it into what's that lady that was in that sketch too, on the couch every time he was like, "Hey, you guys want to put this movie on?" And she'd start screaming.
Oh, Jane Curtin.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, well, she's not the one I'm thinking of.
Gilda Radner.
Yes, she's another
potato famine.
She is fantastic, but you know, again, I feel like when people think, I feel like that cast right there, like everybody thinks is amazing. So like, you can't really pick any of them. Because I would have loved to pick Bill Murray or Dan Aykroyd or Chevy Chase, but like, I feel like
Bag of Glass is one of
they
the best
are
fish
who they are today because that cast was so amazing.
Bag of Glass
and Steve Martin when he was on there. He was actually on there quite a bit.
Dana Carvey was good on there.
Dana Carvey's like 20 years after that, though.
Just saying,
he was mid-90s.
But he's still funny, though.
Oh, yeah, he was funny.
Oh, reminiscing.
But yeah.
Oh, memories. All right.
See what you want. Eddie Murphy, though. I think probably... well,
he's top five, for sure.
Well, yeah, oh, yeah. I mean... You don't really think about him too much now, but I mean...
Right, well, that's because...
But if you think about it, that's why I picked him. I'm like... He was funny as
he hasn't
he
done
funny as shit.
He hasn't really done anything worth seeing since Harlem
Nights.
I'm
Gumby, damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a 25-year dry spell going
Mr.
right now.
Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood.
Yes. Going strong and long. The guy's been in the desert now for 25 years.
Yeah.
I'm just going to leave it there. He peaked with Harlem Nights, and it's been a straight drop off the cliff ever since.
All right. So let's...
he had that one, like... There's a skit where it's like about, you know, like for black, you know, black pride or whatever. And he goes, "I'm Shabazz K. Morton."
I don't even remember that one.
"Stop laughing before you all make me smile."
That I
remember.
That I remember.
Talking about so George good. Washington Carver. Edward Skippy Williamson and Frederick Jiff Armstrong. Two white men stole his recipe. I'm gonna go home and watch it.
We're gonna have to do that the technical difficulties things while he's cackling away like a maniac.
I have that VHS.
All right, well let's wrap it up with best thing ever, and we'll get out of everyone's hair. My best thing ever for the week is gonna be a dual parter, being obviously Battlefront because it came out, and I played a lot of it, and it's super fun. But also, and I haven't played it as of recording this yet, but I did finally grab it. It's been out for about 2 weeks now, but Fallout 4, and I'm super pumped to play it.
Yep, it's awesome.
Other than that, that's what I got.
I've been playing Rise of the Tomb Raider.
All right. Mine was Thursday night. I went to see the Coma Ecliptica. That's how it's pronounced? The Coma Ecliptic Tour with Between the Buried and Me, Enslaved, Intronaut, and a band that doesn't need to be mentioned because they were horrible. Let's see. Intronaut was the reason I went. Unfortunately, they only played four songs, but they were four amazing songs, and they were super heavy and as good as I hoped, but I need to see a full set. Enslaved, completely annihilated with their black metal warlordness. But the surprise of the night was Between the Buried and Me, a band I've always liked, but I was never like super big on, just completely knocked my head off my shoulders. They were amazing live. Tight beyond words, but just like one of the best live sets I've seen in a long time. Did not expect them to be that good, so that show was pretty excellent. But it also proved to me why I don't go to shows anymore, because I felt like the 40-year-old chaperone of a bunch of high school kids seeing a metal show. Super weird. I think it was the only guy there with gray in his beard.
You made it weird.
And I didn't have a Pabst Blue Ribbon, so I felt like I should have had a coffee cup that said "World's Greatest Dad." But then I'd have a thousand.
He totally just got that off my shirt, by the way.
Actually, I didn't. But I'd have seen that shirt a lot since you wear it every single day.
I only wear it on Fridays and Saturdays. All right, sir, what about you?
Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles crossover. Even though
it's what if it's no good?
James Tynion the Fourth is doing it. How could it be bad? How could it be bad?
Because of your face?
It's not even out yet, but I'm picking that. I'm really psyched. I remembered it was coming out, and then like I got a reminder like a week ago that it was coming out. I was like, oh crap, it's actually coming out really soon. I'm actually pretty pumped. If you think about it, it's gonna be weird having Batman who's all serious and then, you know, four teenagers.
He's probably just gonna punch them all and make turtle soup by the end.
Yeah, and then Leonardo will come in with his katana blade and slice him. I don't want either one of them to hurt each other because I like them both.
Well, alrighty, that's gonna wrap us up for the week. Don't forget to tune in on Wednesday when we will have the movie roast of Kiss Me Deadly.
Yeah, who's that, Mama?
Then on Friday, we're actually going to be taking a break because of Thanksgiving, so there will be no movie roast on Friday.
Well, there'll still be the Wednesday one.
Right, that's
what I just said. Oh, all right, yeah, all right.
And then we'll see you again on Monday for the new movie roast.
Are actually horny.
Where our number one for the next Monday, if everybody wants to check it out and read it and, you know, maybe tweet us your thoughts before we record. We're doing The Fall of Darth Vader, or Darth Fallen, or Fallen Darth.
Vader Fallen.
Yeah, boom, nailed it. That's what we're doing. Get on it.
Vader Down, I'm sorry.
Vader Down! Get her done. Anywho, I am Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XorsonX. I'm here with Brian. You can find on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. And we're here with Chris. You can find at SkateXEdge. Go to ComicRoast.com to listen to all of our shows. We've got links to Twitter and Stitcher and all that from there. You can subscribe, make it easier on yourself. And don't forget to go to ReviewAndRoast.com to check out our reviews and do some stuff and do some things. We will see you next week.
You are now leading the world of Musings of a Geek podcast network. Stay geeky, my friends.